Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are, justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none other minded, but that he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, and revelings. And such like are they which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Father, this morning as we've come together to fellowship and to share our experiences of this week with you in our life, Father, we desire to know more about your truth of this word. Father, by the revealing of your Spirit, we stand in awe of you daily. But Father, this day there's things to be revealed by the Spirit within each one of us. And Father, this morning we sit back and let your Spirit begin to teach us. Father, we love you and we bless you this day. Amen. I want to read something from the Living Bible. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Let me read this to you. So Christ has made us free. Amen? Christ has made us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get all tied up again in the chains of slavery to Jewish laws and ceremonies. Hello? Don't that say a mouthful? See, he's made you free. Don't get all tied up in bondage to all the rules and ceremonies and doctrines and creeds and all that stuff. And that's all the church has done to us. Are we free? Are we? Well, then why are we letting someone tie us up for? Why do we let someone put us in a position to feel guilty? If anybody comes to you and puts you in a place where you feel guilt and condemnation, they just put you back in the bondage of the law. Do you hear me? That's all it is. It's the law. How many people like feeling bound up? What, nobody? Huh?
Some people think
for the safety. Yep, some people do feel better there because they have never known liberty. Once you know liberty, you will never desire to be bound again. Do you hear me? When you know in your spirit you're free, you'll never desire that being bound up again. But most people think it's spiritual to be bound up in that stuff. Okay, let's look at verse 1 again. Stand firm accordingly in the freedom wherein Christ has made us free. And in John 8, 31, 32, what's he say? If you continue in my word, you'll be what? My disciples indeed, my disciplined ones. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you freedom, okay, or free. Guess what? The only thing that'll make you free is what?
Truth.
No. Yeah, truth you know. See, it's truth, but if I don't know the truth in my spirit, it will do me no good. I can quote this Bible. I can show you people that's quoted this Bible right to their grave. You know what? Didn't do them a bit of good. Because they did not know the freedom or liberty which Christ has made us free in that liberty. They don't know that liberty. They've only known their flesh to be a little loose. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being free in Christ. It means bound to nothing or no one except Him. Okay? And he said, stand firm accordingly in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of slavery. Now, tell me the point of slavery. Someone can dominate you and make you do what they want. Hello, don't that sound like church to you? Doesn't it? The law tries to make you do what they want you to do. And that's all the church wants to do, is make you do what they want you to do. Excuse me, that's not liberty. Christ fulfilled the law. The law is no longer in effect in my life. But now there is a greater law affecting my life, which should be effective in your life. Guess what it should be? It should be active in your life. A law of love. This law is greater than any law that's ever been written on a piece of paper. It's ever been legislated. Because no law legislated by a man can ever make somebody's heart change. But God's law of love, which He wrote in our hearts before the foundation of the world, guess what? That's the greatest law there's ever been. See? If you read the Gospels of little letters, epistles, of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you'll find out there's no new commandment, but it's the commandment that we got from the very beginning. It's love. Okay? Paul says in second verse, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Okay? Now, when he says circumcised, do you think he means he's just talking about that physical act of cutting the foreskin off the male? He's talking about your brain. If you let someone trim away some of your brain, do you think that's going to help you any? Well, that's what they're doing. They're taking part of your brain away from you. You're not using it properly, are you? When we're being circumcised, we're put under the bondage and restriction of someone else's thinking, not letting the Spirit of God in you direct and guide you, okay? According to the Word of God. Do-dos and don'ts. That's it. That's all it is. And we know we don't like doo-doo in the temple, do we? Verse 3, because I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is obligated, not debtor, but he is obligated to do the whole law. It's obligated. So if I am circumcised and think by, and it's like the church rule, if you'll come and do our little creeds and doctrines, then you'll make it. If you'll come up here and snot and slobber on a board in front of the church, guess what? You'll make it. You know what? If you believe that, you're a debtor to everything under the law again. That's not the truth. The only reason I don't have to worry is because God said He took care of it. Isn't that the best reason? It's the only reason. There's nobody other can come up with any other idea that can add to one bit of this book, can they? God said it, and that's enough of it. That's it. And I'm not trying to add to it. I'm trying to clarify that if I try to live under these rules and regulations that people and family members and friends and church folk try to put us under, all they're doing is making us a debtor to the whole law. See? I can't just choose part of it to live under, can I? See? If I try to live under a piece of it, I'm guilty of the whole law if I offend one part of it. Because I can say, I'm going to be good and I'm never going to eat no dead pig. Oh, well, bless God, you're great. But you're a liar and a thief and everything else. Guess what? Just not eating that dead pig ain't going to help you a bit, is it? See? The whole law has to be kept before any of it can be any effect in your life. And I got news for you. Nobody can do that. Only one did, and that was Christ. Okay? Verse 4. Christ is what? Become of no effect. Literally, Christ is separated from you, is what he's saying. Christ is separated from you. Whosoever you are that justifies, or literally is seeking justification by the law, you are fallen from grace. See, if you're seeking to be justified from the law, you've been separated from Christ. The only reason you're looking for justification is because you're trying to find some identity in something. Does that make sense? You're trying to find an identity. So you're trying to find something I can attach to. Well, guess what? I don't want to be disattached from Christ. But I have been if I'm looking for that because I don't know who I am. I've lost my identity. And I've never found it. If you ever find your identity, you'll never lose it again. You'll never be separated from Him. Many people in the church realm have never found their identity. They've just been told what they were. And they say, okay, who are you? Well, I'm a Church of Christ, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm or this or that. Well, how do you know? Well, that's what Mom was. Isn't that what they say? When I was in the military, you had to have some kind of religious affiliation. What are you? Well, I think Mom and Dad was Catholic. Well, I'll be a Catholic. Yeah, that's why I'm Catholic. Yeah, that's what they say. They don't know. They have no idea what it's about. It's just words. Don't mean anything to them. Labels. And you know, humans are real good at labeling things. Oh, goodness. Okay. Verse 5. You know, I'm going to finish with verse 4. He said, you are fallen from grace. Grace. The divine influence of God in our heart, God's divine influence in our heart and reflection in our life. Man, anybody want to lose grace? Detached from grace? Oh. Man. You know, anybody wanting to be anywhere near that's got something wrong with them in their thinking. Verse 5. Because we through the Spirit, we don't wait for anything. Remember Hebrews 11, it says, though they did not receive the promise, yet they still believed. They still hoped for it. And this thing here says, they didn't hope for it or wait for it. They fully expected what the language says. We fully expect, okay? He said, because we, now who is this writing? Paul. He's putting himself here. We fully expect through the Spirit, we fully expect the hope of justification from faith, from out of faith. How are we going to be justified? From faith, not from anything else, not from works. See? We're justified through the grace of God. Right? Through faith. It's a gift of God, is it not? We'll get in Ephesians here shortly and we'll find out that's what it tells us. Because in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which is active through what? Which faith is not active, but let's put it another way. Faith is activated through what? How am I going to have faith if I don't have love? Could I? I can't have faith if I don't have love. And I'm not talking about human love. I'm talking about the love of God. If I don't experience the love of God in my life, how am I going to have faith for anything? See? When I love somebody and I love my wife, you know what? I have confidence in what she's saying. I believe what she tells me. Why? Because I have faith in her. Because we have a love between us. Anyone else that has a love between someone, there should be a faith there. You know, we label it different things. We call it trust and we call it all kinds of things. And I don't know, I can't think of the words right now, but we have all kinds of words we use between two people. But if we have a love between us, then I will trust and believe in what you say. If I love God, will I believe what he says? That's a covenant, I guarantee you. But if I love God, what will I believe? What he says or what someone else tells me? See? Okay? Very simple. If we have love, we'll believe whatever God says. And that faith is activated only by the love or through the love that God has placed within us. Okay, verse 7. You were running well, is what it should say. You were running well. Who did hinder that you should not obey the truth? That you was doing great, and along come the law again, slapped you upside the head and say, hey, get back over here under the law again. And what'd you do? Well, I better get back over. The preacher said I should. Read the book yourself. Hello? Read the book yourself. You're free. This country's blessed over any country in the world, the freedom we have and the magnitude of Bibles and words that's been written and translations and all the helps to study. Do it yourself. Don't trust the preacher. I'm one, but don't trust him. I don't trust myself. I have to do it myself every day. I don't trust somebody to feed me. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not telling you to distrust me. I'm just saying you got to do it yourself so you can see it yourself. And if you see it, who can take it away from you? If you yourself look and see and said, oh my God, I see it. Who are you going to believe now? The religious realm or what God showed you in your heart? See? There you're free. Don't let nobody put you back under that slavery again. Because all they want to do is control you, your money and what you're doing. Okay? Verse 8. This persuasion. Now you know what the language says about this word persuasion? It calls it a treacherous or deceptive persuasion. This treacherous or deceptive persuasion is not from him that called you. Guess who it's not from? It's not from God, is it? So wonder who it came from. That piece of gray matter between your ears they call the carnal mind. Oh, yeah, the devil did it. See? It's your mind. And your mind has tried to reason with you and out-reason God. I know in Isaiah it says, come, let us reason together. Don't you believe those words in the King James Bible. You think God's going to sit down and reason with you? Let me say it another way. Be reasonable. See it my way. There's God. Be reasonable. See it my way. You really think you can reason with God? Be reasonable. See it his way. Okay? Because you're going to lose anyway. You can be like Jacob and wrestle with him all night. Guess what? He ain't going to win, are you? You're the one that's going to get your hip throwed out of joint. You're the one that's going to be limping. Okay. Verse 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Yeah, you can take just a little bit of leaven and put it in a great big pan of dough, and what ends up? It all, when it all gets stirred up, mixed together, it all going to swell up, ain't it? And leaven could be put in a lot of things like pride, it swells you up, you know. Could be a lot of things. Just self. Well, that's enough. Ego is enough. Verse 10, I have confidence in you, not through you, in the Lord, but not through the Lord. I have confidence in the Lord. See? I have confidence in Him. That you will what? Not be otherwise minded, but the one that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. I got faith in the Lord. You're going to come through it no matter what. And I know that this other one is going to get his judgment. God will deal with him. See, I don't have to go out and get even with somebody that lied to me, do I? I don't have to do that. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? No doubt then, the offense of the cross is ceased. Now, let me say it a little clearer. Let me clarify some of this. He says, because brethren... No, I missed a word. I'm going back up. 11. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? See, Paul's no longer preaching the circumcision or the Jewish rules and regulations, is he? He said, hey, we're not under the law anymore. Christ has made us to be free. So guess what? Let's don't go back and be doing that. Because if I'm doing that, he said, if I'm still preaching circumcision, because Peter did, didn't he? And some of the other guys started preaching that they had to go back and be circumcised. Paul said, if I was preaching circumcision, nobody would be hindering me a bit, would they? But when I say, hey, the rules and regulations and the law is finished, now I become persecuted because they all believe in what? The law. You think it's any different today in a church? When they believe that in Jesus' name only, and you tell them that's not what it says, you think they're going to believe you? When they think you have to have communion every Sunday or go to hell, and you tell them differently after they've been taught that since they were little babies, you think they're going to listen to you? Or you've got to be baptized to be saved, you think they're going to believe you? Or if you tell them they don't have to leave their hair down to their ankles, or they are allowed to put makeup on, do you think all those rules and regulations are going to make any difference when you tell them the truth? The only one that can create the hearing ear and the seeing eye, according to this book, is God Almighty. The Spirit of God is the only one that can do that. And that will set you free when He does it. See? It's not about us doing it. It's about God setting us free when it's His time. Doesn't the book clearly say every man in his own order? Says it in Timothy, and it also says it in Corinthians. Paul says, in every man in his own order, in his own set or proper time, God will bring you out. Even in Galatians it said, until the time appointed by the Father in Galatians 4, verse 2. Doesn't it say that? Okay. I'm going to get excited this morning. Oh, if I get any more excited, I'm going to blow up. Okay, verse 12. I wish they were even cut off, the ones that trouble you. He said, I wish they was cut off. You know why he said he wished they was cut off? Because he realizes they're negative. And he wants to get them separated from you so you can get your roots down into the ground and be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, that you'll not be moved by all the floods coming by. See, that's what he wants you to be. So he said, if I can remove this and shelter you for a little while, he said, I wish I could. See, does that mean he's gone to? How many of us has desired to help somebody and we tried to get between them and somebody else so they wouldn't hurt them? Man, I spent a bunch of years sitting under a man trying to shield people, and all I got was scars. No appreciation even from the ones you tried to protect, because they'd turn and bite you as soon as the chance came. But see, I learned something. I'd love to cut them off, but I can't. It's necessary. The negative's got to be there, doesn't it? See? Lord, there's wisdom in here if we listen. He said, I desire that. I wish that. Because, brethren, verse 13, you have been called to what?
Freedom!
What do I want to go back to jail for? Why do I want to put the bondages, the big chains back on my ankles so I can be a slave to the religious system any longer? I don't want to do that, do you, Jenny? Why do I want to be in a slavery again? I don't need nobody telling me what to do. I got a master. His name is God. The Christ that lives within me. So do you. So why do we need somebody else to tell us how to live our life? I bet everyone in this room's got all kinds of people that love to tell you what to do. I get people, you'd think I was lost because they tell me where to go all the time. See, I get told where to go all the time. And that's by the religious people. You'd be surprised how many religious people tell you where to go. It's okay. Because, see, I know my destiny and I know my direction. I know my course. They don't. And I think Jesus' course went through that place too, didn't it? So I don't have a problem following wherever He went. Because He told me to follow Him, okay? No problem. Fine by me. But brethren, you've been called to liberty. Only use not this, or freedom, don't use this freedom for an opportunity to the flesh. Hello, hear what he says. See, don't take this as an opportunity I can do. And I hear this in the kingdom, quote, kingdom message in realms of the kingdom people all over this world today. They're saying, oh, I can do all things, anything I want to, and God really doesn't care. Well, do you think God's stupid? Why did he print this book with 500,000 words in it? To tell us to do whatever we wanted to do? He wouldn't have bothered writing a book, would he? Hello? He would not have printed this book or had this book preserved throughout the ages so we can see what he said if there was no purpose in it. Now, that just don't make no sense to me. Wrong freedom. That's called liberty. That's called a license to do what I want to do. And so he said, don't take this opportunity for, don't take this freedom for an opportunity to the flesh, but through love, serve one another. See? Now it says I can do anything I got to do if I'm doing it to do what?
Serve.
To serve somebody. Not to gain myself, but to serve somebody. If I can help somebody, and just like under the law, they were not allowed to walk but a certain distance. Okay? On their religious day, which happened to be Saturday, that time. So, guess what? There's a man outside that boundary that is having trouble, and maybe he's going to die if he don't get some helping hand. Oh, can't go out there today. Law says I can't go. Let him die. No. I'm going to do anything. I don't care what the religious folks say about me. I'm going to go out there. If a man needs his grass cut today on Sunday, God forbid anybody work on Sunday. You know that. I'll go out there and cut his grass if I have to. Right? If he needs it. Whatever. If a car breaks down, you're going to leave it just set there? Or are you going to assist them? See? What if they're sick? You're going to let them die? Say, oh, I'm not supposed to work on Sunday. Ask all the six people that's in church today, if they go to the hospital and it's Sunday, if they want the doctor not to work on them. Bring me back tomorrow. Wait till after midnight tonight. And the ones that are saying that, you know what? They'll say, oh, no, go ahead. Work on me now. See? Because they really don't believe what they say they believe. They're only trying to make you as miserable as they are. That's all they're trying to do. Misery loves company. Right? Okay. Verse 14. Because all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor or your fellow man as yourself. That says it. One word, it's love. Love your fellow man as yourself. If you love your fellow man as yourself, are you going to treat him the same way? Well, you know what's funny? I see so many church folk doing this. Yeah, I love them poor folk. Let me see if I can find some old used junk I got around the house to give to them that's aggravating me and in my way. I wouldn't think of going to Walmart and buying them something new to give to them, because they're just old, nobody people. And you know, who are they? They might even smell. See? They might even smell. But they don't deserve anything new, do they? Is that treating them like yourself? Because we don't go get junk, do we? What do we want? We want the best, don't we? Well, then why should we just give junk to the poor people? Why not give them something good? Okay. I've been condemned all my life for giving things away, but you know what? I enjoy it. I give things away all the time. I always come up on the short end of the stick financially, but it doesn't make any difference because my father is the supply. It don't make any difference. I don't have to make money. He'll take care of me. Verse 15. Boy, here's a beauty. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed or destroyed by one another. If you're fighting with someone, while you're destroying them, what are they doing to you? Hello. And guess where it's taking place? Inside. We were talking earlier about road rage. Who gets affected by the road rage? The one who makes you mad, or you the one that gets mad? The guy who created the problem just drove on off down the road in his lone world by himself and doesn't know anything's going on, and you're sitting there fuming, your blood pressure went up, your heart's pounding, and you're the one going through hell for the rest of the day because some idiot cuts you off. Well, really, who's the idiot? Huh? The one offended is the idiot, see? Because you're letting yourself be beat up, you're hurting yourself because of someone you don't even know did something stupid. If I got mad at everything that was done stupid, I might as well just give up and be mad the rest of my life. Because there's enough stupid things being done every day around me that I could stay mad for eternity. And a lot of people stay that way. I'm not going there. Come on. We don't want to be destroyed by each other. This I say then. Walk, right? Or live in the Spirit. The word walk also means live. Live in the Spirit. See, I'm not saying walk with the Spirit beside of me or something, or I'm not trying to crawl inside of this thing like a ghost and try to walk in this form. But I'm going to live in the Spirit. How do I live in the Spirit? Well, he's going to tell us here. He said, if you live in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Guess who's in control? Christ. Christ is in control. Because the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Remember Ishmael and Isaac? Said they're always going to war against each other. We're not talking about people. We're talking about the spirit of those people. And the spirit of Ishmael and Isaac is still going over in the Middle East over there, and they're beating each other's brains out and killing each other, and they think it's honorable to kill each other. See? They've totally been consumed by one another. And he said, these are contrary or opposites, the one to the other, so that you could not do the things that you choose to do. See, as long as I'm angry and I'm warring with anybody about anything, I can never do the things that my spirit chooses to do. It's impossible. If I'm angry, I can't be in the Spirit. I can't think about spiritual things. On the way to church, someone cuts you off and you get mad and you come in here, and how in the world are you going to think about the Spirit of God? Come on. Can we? Well, first of all, your mind, you might come on and put a show and be a hypocrite, like you said, be a hypocrite out here about it, but in your mind, you're not in Christ, because the only place you can be in Christ is in your mind. It's not in your flesh, is it? See, that's why the people can go to church and perform and do all those little ditties that they do and think that's spiritual, because it's all flesh and that's all they ever knew about. They've never understood the Spirit. It's just a tradition of men. That's all it is. Okay. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Did you hear that? You ought to indelibly write that thing on your brain. You ought to indelibly write that verse in your brain. If you're led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Nobody can tell you what to do. Did you hear me? Nobody has the right to tell you what to do. Only the Spirit of God in you has a right to tell you what to do. He purchased you with His blood. True or false? Then He owns you. Nobody has the right to tell you what to do. Why don't I tell people what to do? Because I know better. It's none of my business. If you knew how many times people come to me, why don't you make this person do that or make that person do that? So-and-so made them do it. Well, you know what? I'm not so-and-so. See? I'm a son of God who understands that Christ, the Spirit in you, is the one that's supposed to tell you what to do. I'm not supposed to tell you what to do. I've not been elected spiritual sheriff that I'm going to run around and watch over everybody and tell you, oh, you made a mistake, I'll put you in jail. See, I'm not there, and neither is anybody else. They might think they're there, but the only one that can deal with you is the Spirit of God. Anybody, any human that's trying to do it is out of bounds. They've overstepped their authorities, I guarantee you. They probably didn't have any to start with. Huh? That's not love. And now he goes on in verse 19 and says, now the works of the flesh are these, are manifest, rather. The word manifest is apparent. Now, you know how they become manifest and apparent? Tell me what they are. Okay, what are actions? Are they internal or external? The works of the flesh is something external, right? And all these things are made apparent or they come external where people can see them. And which are these? Adultery. Now, adultery, everybody wants to say is, well, that's man, woman sleeping together that ain't married. But you know what adultery really is by the Spirit? It's someone who's not faithful. They're not faithful to their true husband, which is Christ. And you know what that person is? That's a person that's still in love with Adam. And the book says when that man is dead, when that husband's dead, you are free to marry another, Christ. And guess what? That last Adam died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And there's still people in adultery right now that think they're spiritual this morning, all over this nation, all over this world. They think they're spiritual, and they're spiritual adulterers is all they are. Because they're still married to their natural man. They've never married Christ. And I'm adamant about that for a reason. They don't know what they're talking about. Fornication. The word fornication literally means idolatry. You know what? When you're in love with Adam, he's an idol to you. It's idolatry. That's all it is. You're in love with your own self. Uncleanness literally means, in the language, moral impurity. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, the language says, is unbridled lust. Now, if you think that's only talking about sex, you missed the whole point. You're still yet carnal. Unbridled lust means I do anything and everything I want to do and I don't stand to nobody. That sounds like Adam again to me. Does it not? I never answer to anybody. I've heard people all my life say, I'm just doing my own thing. I'm not accountable to nobody. Nobody can tell me what to do. Well, excuse me, if you're in the human race, you affect people. I can do nothing without affecting somebody else. Somebody in my family's been hurt because of the things I've done. I guarantee you they have in my family. It's not anymore. Now they're offended at the things I do because I don't fit the mold they want me to be. Okay? Idolatry. We pretty well know what that is, don't we? Image worship. Now, if you think idolatry, image worship, is bowing down before this graven image like was a shadow in the Old Testament, you missed it. It's an image in your head. It's the images in your head that you bow down to. And they were created by the cherubim, the imaginary creatures of your mind. And it created all these images, and we believe those images instead of believing what God said. There's idolatry to the very peak of spiritual idolatry. Believing what my head says over what God says. Witchcraft. It's the word pharmakia. It speaks of what? Drugs or magic. Okay? Drugs or magic. Manipulation. Control. Church is very good at this. They're very good at using manipulation and control over you. It's called witchcraft. Okay? Hatred. The word hatred is hostility or a reason for an opposition. See? Whenever you can reason in your mind or justify in your mind, I got a right, you just blew it. You just blew it. You just blew it. See? That's what's called hatred. When I can reason or justify in my mind why I have this reason for an opposition against them. Well, I don't care what they do. I don't have any reason for opposition. I may not like what they do, but guess what? I don't have a right to get mad. And if I have a right to get mad, I just gave up my peace. Didn't I? I ain't giving it up. Sorry. Variance. What does variance mean? Quarreling. You know how many people love to quarrel? They love to quarrel. I don't like it. Five, emulation. I mean, the next thing in verse 20 there, emulations. It means jealousy. Emulations is jealousy. Do you know how many people are jealous? I see people every day, it's jealous because somebody has something they don't have. Jealousy turns into murder. Go back and read about Cain and Abel. Cain was jealous of Abel and he ended up killing him. Don't be jealous of what anybody has. Be content with whatever lot God's got you in. There you'll be happy. Wrath. Do we have to explain that? It's an anger. Strife is a self-seeking thing. Strife is a self-seeking thing, what the language says. It's self-seeking. It means you're always looking out for old number one and the heck with everybody else. Seditions. That means divisions. We understand what division is, don't we? Separations. You're not like me, keep away from me. I don't like the way you part your hair or the way you brush your teeth or whether you brush your teeth or not. See? I don't like something about you, so you're different than me. Heresies. What's that mean? What's it mean? Well, heresies, by the language, literally says this. Men who follow their own doctrines. Men who follow their own doctrines. See? And that's where they come up with the word heresy. They say, if you say something different from the church, they say you're a heretic. Well, they say because the church has agreed that their doctrine is right, and if you say something different, that makes you a heretic because you're following your own doctrine. Hello, I'm following the doctrine of this book, the doctrine of Christ. Guess what? It doesn't match with the church. So they have a right to call me a heretic under their understanding, but they don't understand what the language says. I'm not following my own doctrine. I'm following the doctrine of Christ. If I was following my own doctrine, I'd be a fool to go through what I go through. Nobody wants to go through this for no reason. See? They don't even understand the language, so they make these words say anything they want to. They never see what they really mean. Because if you would take the language apart in most churches, they'd throw the big hex on you, you know, say, oh my God, you've changed the word of God, you're a demon or something. Why did God give us this? Why did He tell us to study to show ourselves approved? And if they say study's just reading, they're a fool. The word study is not read. The word reads in here and it's not the same word. See? They got to do some homework and they don't want to work. They're lazy. That's what it's all about. Okay. Verse 21. Envying. You know what envying really means? It's having ill will towards someone or spite. Ill will or spite is what the language says it is. Murders. I think we understand that, don't we? But you know what? We don't understand murder in spirit. Do you realize when you say something negative about someone, what you just did? You just threw a spear through them, didn't you? When you say something negative, you just killed that person. And that was your intent to say it. See? If you say something to reveal something, that's one thing. But when you say it for no other intent other than to slander that person, you just murdered that person spiritually. That's a spiritual murder. Okay? Drunkenness. You think he's really talking about the natural drunk? Drunkenness is something else. Drunkenness is uninhibited. You get drunk, you're liable to do anything, ain't you? See, and if I get uninhibited in my lifestyle, guess what I'll do? Anything. See, again, it goes back to me doing what I want to do versus what God wants to do. Do I have a choice in this matter? I don't. I have to follow my Father wherever He goes. Okay. Revelings. What's revelings mean? No. It means carousing. Going around, running around, never sitting at home, always on the go. And I'm not talking about just going sightseeing. I'm not talking about taking a trip across country and say that's carousing. No. This is talking about people, if you dig into the language, it'll tell you people who caroused all night long drinking and chasing women. So we understand that. So guess what he's talking about? Spiritually, what would he be saying? Someone who is out chasing after the soulish realm instead of the woman, instead of chasing after God, their husband. Would that make sense? Huh? Does that make sense? They were after the woman's side. Okay? He said, and such like, of which I tell you before, I told you before, as I also have told you in times past, I tell you, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Did he say he was going to hell? Imagine that. Church tells you you're going to hell if you do it. Well, it's not here, is it? He said you'll not inherit the kingdom. Now, when I did those things, and if you think you haven't done them things, you're only lying to yourself. Hello. And none of us exempt from those things, are we? We all had flesh. We all lived in the flesh at times in the past. Is that true or false? We all have done these things. And when I did them things, I was not an inheritor of the kingdom. Do you hear me? I had no peace in my life because of all that stuff going on in me. As long as that stuff's going on in me, I can't inherit the peace or the kingdom of God. But as soon as I realize what these things are and they're totally in my mind, it's where it's all at, and when I take control of that and put them out, guess what I have inherited? the kingdom of God and the peace of God. Oh, isn't it beautiful? Oh, my. But the fruit of the Spirit, now this word fruit is not just an apple hanging on a tree, because, you know, there's all kinds of apples hanging on a tree. There's little bitty ones that are just green and hard and knotty and sour as they can be. This word means mature fruit. It says picked fruit. You don't pick immature fruit. You pick mature fruit. See? Good fruit. That's what it's talking about. And the good mature fruit of the Spirit is love. I don't have to explain that one, do I? If I have to explain that one, somebody ain't been listening. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And we know that faith... Inspired by what? We go back up, you know, another verse we just taught. Faith was activated by love. So all this stuff is activated by the very first thing in verse 22, which is the mature fruit of love. But it's long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, which is humility by language. Temperance, which is self-control. Against this sort of character or individual, there is no law. There's no law against them things. See, there's no law against love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, self-control. There is no law against that. Well, then why don't somebody do it? Hello? If there's laws against the other stuff, and you do it, how come we don't do this? There's no law against it. Why? My brain's saying, why? Why don't we love people? There's no law against loving people, is there? Jeez, come on. Help me. And they that are Christ's. Now, this word here is Christos. It's not a plural word, but I think it has a plural. It's not really plural, but Christ is a plural or a corporate understanding, okay? But it says, they that are Christ, and I see this as possessive. If I belong to Him, and I am part of Him, okay? If I belong to Christ and have crucified the flesh, what? Together with the what? The emotions or influence of those emotions, and the lusts or the desire of those things, guess what? It says, then what are we going to do? We're going to be living where? In the Spirit. See, I have to realize that I am part of the Christ. You get this? That's the first thing you need to do. That's your identity. You got to know who you are. And I have to realize that I have crucified the flesh. Okay? And they've crucified the flesh together with the emotions or the influence and lusts or desires of that flesh. when I realize that I have been crucified with him, as Paul said in Romans 6. When he was crucified, who was crucified? Who was crucified? See, that's your response. You've got to be crucified with him. And when he was resurrected, when he went in that water of baptism, when he came out, he was what? Resurrected with him. Okay? If I've been immersed into him, then I'm alive now in him. If I don't believe that, do you think I'm ever going to come to this? That's how I'm going to walk in the Spirit, is to know that I died with him and I resurrected with him, and I'm going to see these fruits of the Spirit come into my life, and I'm going to crucify. That means I need to put the dagger into the heart of those desires. I desire to lust after a woman. Drive that dagger home. Kill it. See, it's in my heart. Nobody else can do that, can they? I have to realize myself that those are the wrong motivations in my life. There are emotions and influences in my life that don't need to be there, desires that don't need to be there. So verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, or literally keep in step with the Spirit. See, if I live in the Spirit, he can't be walking up there in front of me 10 yards and be lollygagging, oh, la, 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 back here somewhere. I got to walk with him. I got to walk in him. Does that make sense? I can't take my own course and say I'm walking in the Spirit. Can I? I have to follow him. Let us, verse 26, not be what? It says desirous of vainglory. Literally it says, let us not be self-conceited. Proud. Provoking, literally challenging or irritating one another, or being jealous of one another. There's what he's telling us what to do. If you don't do them things, guess what you've just been done? You just walked into the Spirit. Do you realize that? You're led by the Spirit when you do those things. When you are not self-conceited, you're not challenging and irritating people, and you're not being jealous of one another, guess where you've just stepped? You've stepped into the Spirit of God, and guess what I just inherited when I did that? I just inherited the kingdom of God. Oh my God, do you realize how simple that is? There was three things there he said to do. Not be conceited. Not challenging and irritating somebody. And what's the third one? What did I just tell you? Not being jealous of one another. Does that sound so difficult? And with those three things, I can walk right into the kingdom of God. That's not a geographical location. It's a realm of the Spirit. And by doing those three things, I can step into the Spirit of God and walk in totality of peace. What would you give to have peace in your life today?
3 days.
It's going to cost you 3 days. Inside joke here. It's going to cost you 3 days of experience to get to that place. But what would the world give to walk in this peace? Do you know the world, the church world, don't even have an idea of how to get here. They don't even have an idea how to get here. So you're blessed if you can what? Blessed is he that has ears that can hear. Amen? Whew. Oh boy, I'm having fun.